Valar Morghulis.
Valar Dohaeris.
Welcome to Southside Westeros, where we explore the world of Game of Thrones. From the Fist of the First Man to the Catacombs of the Red Keep, no secrets will be safe from us. Enter and forever be changed.
There is only one God, and his name is Death. And there is only one thing we say to Death.
Hello and welcome back to Southside Westeros. I'm D. Paul, your Master of Whispers, and I thank you for joining me again. Today's episode will be part one in our series, The House of Baratheon, and we will be talking about the most prominent Baratheon who spent the least amount of time on screen, but provided the largest shadow and an impact that can be felt all the way to the series finale. And we're speaking of Robert Baratheon, the king. Now, King Robert was the 17th ruler of the Seven Kingdoms and the first king of the Baratheon dynasty. Now, he was a great warrior. He was charismatic in his youth. And he took the throne through a conquest in the war that would later be known as Robert's Rebellion, which began when the Prince of Dragonstone, Rhaegar Targaryen, allegedly abducted Robert's betrothed, Lyanna Stark. Now, Rhaegar supposedly killed Rhaegar in the Battle of the Trident. There was a great duel for the ages. Two great warriors, both the best of their houses, coming face to face on the battlefield. A rare occurrence in those days. Most of the leaders stayed back and allowed their houses or their flunkies to fight their battles. But this was the two leaders meeting up. It likens me to later on in the Battle of the Bastards when Ramsay says, "Hey, you proposed a one-on-one battle. Let's go ahead and get it in." But we're not going to talk about that. And even this, we're going to talk about later in the podcast. But Robert, when the series starts, it starts with him as the king traveling down to King's Landing to meet his friend and brother, Ned Stark. Now, to understand Robert, we got to get into his background. Now, we do primarily focus on the show, but we have to reference the books to give you an idea of what created not only the circumstances, but what created the character itself, the idiosyncrasies, if you will, that make them this person that is presented to you. It gives them the stuff they need to not only move in this archaic world, but to prosper. Now, let's get into Robert's background. Robert was the first son of Stephen Baratheon. And he had two younger brothers, Renly and Stannis, who are prominent later on in the show. Now, his parents died when they were young, when their ship was caught in a storm. Now, poetically or ironically, their home was called Storm's End. And as Robert and Stannis were at the walls of Storm's End, they witnessed their parents' ship break up on the rocks and sink. Now, this alone should kind of give you an idea of what shaped these men's battle acumen, the hardened exterior that they had. Now, Robert, as we'll find out later, his personality was different than his brother Stannis. Stannis, a very stoic, pragmatic man. No joy in this man whatsoever. It's all duty and honor. Where Robert got it done, but he absolutely took advantage of all the debauchery that was available in Westeros at the time. And ultimately, this would lead to his end. While Stannis' stance actually would lead to his. So it's very interesting, the Baratheons and what seems to have been a curse on the Baratheons, going back to when Stefan and Cassana, their mother, died in their eyesight. So he inherits this at a young age, but he is fostered by John Arryn, the future hand of the king and the head of the House of Arryn. And this was a great house amongst the houses of Westeros. And Eddard Stark, the second son of House Stark, was also fostered by Arryn at the same time. So you have Robert and Eddard, both young men who both experienced tragic beginnings, being brought together under the stewardship of John Arryn, who taught them everything they needed to be successful and put them in position to get to where they were. But more importantly, they became brothers. And this was more important to Ned, I feel. I feel Robert, I think Robert didn't like responsibility. And when his parents died, he had a great responsibility to Renly and Stannis. And I feel that while Robert did the big brother tough stuff, I'm going to beat up guys, I'm going to fight a war, I'm going to make people scared of you, no one's going to physically assault you while I'm around. And Stannis wasn't a soft man, but Stannis, I feel, took the responsibility on. And with him taking the responsibility on, Stannis was very serious and had no tolerance for Robert's nightlife and for his inability to focus on the task at hand. So with Ned, even though Ned was a very pragmatic and stoic man, I think he lived vicariously through what Robert Baratheon would do. And that's what the opposite attracts kind of friendship. That's what fed that. And of course, the respect for the warrior in them, because this was a warrior society. So you respected strength, because strength kept you alive. So this is what kind of formed this trifecta. The Ned needing a brother after his brothers were murdered. Robert needing someone to look at him just as a regular person and not four things. And being under John Arryn, they got the rearing that they needed at the time. While John Arryn wasn't an extraordinarily stern man, he did provide that soft male touch that those two needed. And that all led to them being close together. Now, Robert, now we have to think about this. Robert served King Aerys Targaryen, or otherwise known as the Mad King, as the Lord Paramount of the Stormlands. And at that time, Robert was betrothed to Lyanna Stark very early on, Ned's sister. And this would have made them real brothers versus figurative brothers. And at the time of that betrothal, Robert actually beat Richard Lonmouth during the tourney of Harrenhal, leading to this kind of vision of Robert as this unbeatable, brutish character. This led to that. Now, he was a legendary fighter, possibly more legendary in the brothels and bars, taverns. But when he went to war, Robert Baratheon went to war. So this just led to men being more fearful of him, which would serve him later on. Now, Lyanna was allegedly kidnapped by Rhaegar Targaryen. And the Mad King, again, killed Ned's father and brother for protesting against the kidnapping. So look at these chain of events that would lead to the Game of Thrones. She's allegedly kidnapped by Rhaegar. And the Mad King, in protection of his son's, not life, but in protection of his son's right to run roughshod over Westeros, he killed the Warden of the North and one of his sons for protesting the kidnapping. Now, of course, their deaths are going to spark a massive uprising. And this is led by Robert, Edard, and John Aaron. Now, Leanna and Aries died during the Civil War that followed. Both of them perished. And Robert then claims the Iron Throne because he started the war and again supposedly killed Prince Rhaegar personally. Now, the reason why I keep harping on that is because if you go to the book, it said that he used his warhammer, he hit Rhaegar, and then you saw these purple pearls, these purple gems, and purple and red kind of blood gems fly through the air, and then Rhaegar falls into the water. Now, purple stones, those same stones are representative of another character in Westerosi lore, the Faceless Men. So it has been purported that perhaps that was not Rhaegar that Robert killed that day, but a faceless man, and that Rhaegar actually survived. And this may have been a plot point that would have been brought up later by George R.R. Martin. However, the showrunners did not want to confuse or muddy up the water, because you're going to have a kind of Targaryen power vacuum later on when we find out Jon Snow is in fact a Targaryen and the son of Rhaegar and Lyanna. Spoiler alert. But we're going to get to that point very shortly. So, but they both died. And the uprising that led from that got Robert the throne. And Robert also had the best claim to the throne at the time as a result of being related to the Targaryens through his mother. See, this isn't focused on the show. People don't really see that portion of this. So, and it makes the attitude he takes later even worse. And I think that attitude is what burnt him out, because this is your relative. You are related to the Targaryens, who you hate so much. Now, John Aaron and Ned Stark are very similar. Laid back, quiet men. Speak when they're spoken to, don't want to be the center of attention, notice everything around them. While Robert, with his claim and his charismatic personality, should be king. And they stood aside because they're smarter than wanting that position. Now, due to Tywin Lannister's brutal sack of King's Landing, and what Clegane did to Elia Martell and her two children, Robert and Eddard briefly fell out over Robert's refusal to make Tywin and Gregor answer for these war crimes. And later on, this being still stuck in Ned Stark's craw really leads to his death because he couldn't let it go. Now, Robert is devastated by Lyanna's death. And this is what I feel we missed. When you outwardly look at a Robert Baratheon, you see he's drinking and whoring and cursing and treating people horribly and everything. You say, well, he's just a character of excess, a creature of gluttony. But I don't see this. I see a severely sad and depressed man. And they do touch on it. They touch on it in the first show where he's been writing for a month and he immediately wants to go to the crypt to pay his respects. But I think the viewer forgets that in the whole Game of Thrones thing. They forget that this is the driving force behind him. He wants to kill himself. He doesn't want to be here without his lady love. And everything around him pales in comparison. Food doesn't taste as sweet. Drink doesn't taste as strong. The air isn't as crisp and the sun doesn't shine as brightly without my lady love. And this is a common theme in George R.R. Martin's story. The loss of love. That happiness is fleeting and temporary and momentary. That any joy that you're going to have in this world, the rug is going to be not swept from under you, but yanked, and you're going to fall on so many swords. This is the motivation behind George R.R. Martin's entire series, loss and depression. And the inability to deal with that at this time. You didn't have psychiatrists. You didn't have psychologists. You didn't have Zoloft and Xanax and Lexapro. You just had wine, fighting, and brothels. And this is what Robert used as a coping mechanism. But he never got over it. And he did everything he could to rush to his death. John Aaron does not let him mull in his sadness very long because he urges him to marry Cersei Lannister, making an alliance with Tywin, who joined the cause late and delivered the capital. And we discussed Tywin's issues with the Mad King, because as you know, Tywin was the hand of the king at this time. He then named Jon Arryn the hand, and Eddard took his role as the Warden of the North and went back up north. Now, his brother Stannis fought for him throughout the war, even though these two brothers never liked each other. Again, they were two different people. And they both disgusted the other. You remember, he tells Ned, you were the brother I chose. Despite what Stannis did during the war, it didn't matter. It was all about Ned. And then, as an insult, he made Renly the Lord of Storm's End following the victory. He was a kid during the war. He did nothing. He didn't fight. He didn't stand for the family. But he did give Stannis Dragonstone. And Stannis did serve on the small council as master of ships. This is how he ran into the Onion Knight later on. Now, Renly would later join as the master of laws, but again, he was never... This is an archaic society. It's a Viking medieval society. The only thing that is respected is strength. So Renly was never really respected, and that would ultimately lead to what his character experienced, but we'll get into that in a later part. Now, Robert, being the king of the Andals and the First Men and the ruler of the Seven Kingdoms of Westeros since the Civil War, but he's not interested in running this kingdom. Again, he's severely at a loss. So he's drinking, hunting, whoring, and fighting. And referencing the glory days of the rebellion. So the small council runs it. And so facto, Jon Arryn. Now, he throws events and tournaments, and he spares no expense. And doing this for 17 years, he racks up a $6 million debt And in today's, it would be maybe 50 to 100 billion, maybe. A substantial amount. And half of that is to House Lannister. Now, he has three apparent children with Cersei. Joffrey, Marcella, and Tommen. Now, unbeknownst to him, but I don't believe that for a minute. Now, Robert has never been accused of being a smart man, but he has extreme common sense. There's no way he couldn't have common sense surviving and thriving the way he did in Westeros at that time. He had to. He had to. He knew those weren't his kids, but he didn't care because nothing mattered. Because I don't have my lady love. But their father was Jaime Lannister. And I think he knew that's why he would embarrass Jaime any chance he got. But Robert was out doing his own thing, too. His thang. And he racked up a large number of illegitimate bastards. Now, he paid no attention to him. He could care less. Now... he has a prominent one named Gendry, whose mother's a tavern wench. And he has another daughter named Barra, who he had with the prostitute Megan. Now, there's at least four more, but dozens are purported. Now, when John Arryn starts to investigate the lineage of Cersei's children. Because remember, John Arryn never really liked the Lannisters whatsoever. And he understood what was best for the realm, so he kept himself quiet. But at this time, there were things put in motion that caused him to start to research Robert's offspring, his bastards, and the legitimacy of anyone's claims. This is when he dies of mysterious circumstances. Hint, hint, wink, wink. And that's what brings us to Robert riding to Winterfell. Now, it's very obvious and clear that Robert's family is torn right from the beginning. You can see the frustration and the disappointment he has in his own family, and how happy he is to not only see Ned, but all of Ned's family. And the funny part is I've polled a lot of people, and I was looking at a poll on Reddit the other day, and they said like something like 75% of people didn't get that Rob was named after Robert, which is astounding to me. I picked that up immediately, but a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, Rob Stark. Oh, Robert. Yeah, I see. Just simply calling him Rob and referring to Robert as Robert, that makes it makes all the difference in the world. But we get here, and he offers Ned the hand of the king. He tells him he needs him to run his kingdom while he kills himself with drink and wine. And he was serious. Robert was dead serious. And he knows he's forcing Ned. He knows this. He understands that I'm making you do something I don't want, that you don't want to do. And that's counterproductive, but it really doesn't matter because I need you. This is for the greater good. I know I'm not going to be here longer, and hopefully you can transition the realm best way you can. Now, he respects this man more so than anyone in Westeros. I think the only person he could respect more than Ned was John Arryn, who was the father that he always wanted. So Ned Stark is the only person I respect in the least. So I need this person around me because everyone else, I would rather yell and spit on them. So he heads back down to King's Landing. Now, of course, some things happen in King's Landing, but we're just going to stick to Robert. We'll get into those later when we get into Cersei and Jaime, but let's just stick to what happens with Robert. So Robert, before he leaves King's Landing, he proposes that Sansa marry Joffrey. Their houses are now connected, and now Ned would have to be down there to watch his daughter. Robert's not stupid. Ned doesn't want this to happen. Ned, being the man he is, knows exactly what's going on, but he has to do his duty. So they depart Winterfell, and you see them having a break. And this is when the subject of Daenerys comes up, Khal Drogo, and the Dothraki. And Robert, still being full of rage and depression, unresolved suffering, wants her dead, wants every Targaryen dead, which Ned says it makes absolutely no sense. Leave her alone. And watch this. At this moment is when everything went left. If Robert would have listened to Ned and called back his assassins, the wine merchant would have never tried to assassinate Daenerys, causing Khal Drogo to then get angry and pledge the war. They never would have crossed the sea, as Ned said, because Khal Drogo would have stayed alive. They would have kept going, and she would have fallen into her role as the Khaleesi. But it was that moment when Robert, still burdened with the incredible loss and sorrow from losing Lyanna, made the mistake that led to Drogon firing up King's Landing. Right here. Right here. If you pull Ned Stark for his counsel, you pull him away from everything he loves, yank him away from his life and pull him down to Winterfell, and the first time you ask his counsel, you ignore it. You ignore it, Robert. And it caused the events that led to the end of the show. Now, again, we're going to get into only what happened with Robert. The other things that happened on the King's Road, I'm going to, like, between Joffrey and Nymeria and Aya, we're not going to get into that right now, because that's going to be brought up in a later podcast in regards to Joffrey. So we're going to kind of jump past that. So don't bite my head off. We're going to jump past that, and we're going to just kind of get into the return to King's Landing. So he returns to King's Landing, and he's back in full swing, just insulting people, jumping all down Lancels, Lannisters. He just enjoys just torturing that poor boy, sending him out to find a fantasy breastplate stretcher and making Jaime sit outside his office while he sleeps with prostitutes. He's humiliating to anything Lannister. So, and the only joy you kind of see, other than when he talks with Ned, is when he swaps war stories with Sir Barristan Selmy, who has been by his side since he, you know, took over. Now, again, these two are not war buddies, and he doesn't really respect him, per se. He respects his ability, because he can cut down five men like it's nothing. But they were on the other sides of the war. Barristan Selmy killed quite a few of Robert's buddies. So to have him there, but he does respect his skills and the way and the manner in which this man is. So you see pockets of respect and humanism from Robert throughout the first season. But for the most part, he's who he is. He is your just quintessential medieval king. Mark Addy did a great job in conveying that to you and showing that. Now, unfortunately, he does make the call to have the wolf killed, and this creates a divide between Ned and his daughter that later on is exploited by Cersei. But you kind of jump around after this. So Robert, again, can't let go of the Daenerys thing. Finds out about her being pregnant, and that's when he sends the assassins to get not only her, but Viserys as well. Again, Ned disagrees with the decision and resigns as the Hand. Resigns. Now, Robert, later on, talks to Cersei. Now, up until this point, all of their interaction is sniping, disrespect, and the occasional smack to the face. And Cersei counsels him whether it was wise to lose Ned. And they discuss their marriage. And Robert tells Cersei, "I never loved you. I only loved Lyanna." And he has a very transparent moment where he says, "I can't even remember her face." This is 18 years later, people. Think back 18 years ago. Are any moments from 18 years ago or more still burned into your memory? So the emotion of that loss is still burned in, but everything happy about it has faded away through time, through gallons of wine and dozens of harlots. So the thing that you miss and you love the most, you can't even picture it. And this is medieval. We have no pictures. We have no videos. We have no home movies, no Snapchat to look at, no Facebook, nothing. So you can't even remember the love of your life. This man was severely, severely in anguish. And he admits it to her, his wife. And Cersei never loved him. So this is really just a reflection on wasted time. What could have been and what never was. So this moment passes very quickly, but it was an important moment. And again, he sends the troops to go after Daenerys. Now, Robert then sets up a hunting trip. And he wants Renly, Lancel, and of course Sir Barristan Selmy to go with him. And he's going to go off and hunt and a lot of wine. Before he leaves, though, this is when Robert and Cersei visit Ned, who is recovering from the wounds he sustained from Jaime, the queen's brother. Now, those wounds were because his wife kidnapped their other brother, Tyrion. So there were two mistakes made here. And we'll discuss Ned's downfall in our next podcast, because we're going to go into his wife and the things she did and how she was manipulated into getting him killed. But at this point, you have three sides of a coin, both not giving any way. So Cersei wants what Cersei always wants, wretched retribution. Ned is being smug as always, and then Robert is in the middle. Here's this woman that I can't get rid of because I owe everything to her family. Here's Ned, the only man I love and respect. How do I make everyone happy? Again, he smacked her, which he should not have done. You should never strike your queen. And that was his mistake, because that was his death certificate when he slapped her. When he slapped Cersei in front of Ned, he probably could have got away with slapping her in private. But to do it in front of Ned, this man who she despises, this man who's, you killed, attempted to kill his son. You know, you've done all these things to them, but they have the nerve to not bow down to you or just not be stomped out. But he wants to make peace, so he forces Ned to be the hand again. Tells him they'll discuss whatever when he gets back, and then he goes on his hunting trip. On his hunting trip, he is being Robert, insulting Lancel Lannister, and talking about old times. He then gets wounded badly while trying to kill a boar. He's taken back to the capital on his deathbed, where he talks to Joffrey. And this was, again, another moment that may have been missed on a lot of people. It was really the only moment that you saw humanity out of Joffrey's face. He loved his father. What he could view as love, but he did love his father. But I think more so than that, he respected how the viciousness of his father's legend. And Robert says he should have spent more time. He starts to go through all his regrets, but I really don't think he feels any regrets. He makes Ned the Lord Regent and Protector of the Realm, asks him to stop the hit on Daenerys, if he can, and for him to name his successor, who, in Robert's eyes, should be Joffrey. And at this time, Ned knows that that's not your son. But he's not going to tell a dying Robert that, because Ned is losing his brother as well. And that is then the end of King Robert Baratheon, who we later find out was killed due to Cersei's having Lancel set up the circumstances that got Robert killed. And that was the end of a great character on the show. But I hope that you can look at him in a different manner and maybe go back and watch his scenes again and pick out some of those intricate, brilliant parts that I feel that we miss occasionally. Anytime I have a fleeting interest in the show, I just watch it again and I fall in love again. But thanks for joining.
Thank you for listening to Southside Westeros. We look forward to you coming back and visiting us again. If you want to email us, you can reach us at southsidewesteros@gmail.com. You can also reach us at Southside Westeros at both Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch. We're SS Westeros at Cup of Coffee and Twitter. If you want to donate to the program to keep getting this great content, please donate to our Patreon or our Cash App. Both are Southside Westeros. Valo Dohares. And may the Mother bring 7 blessings to you all.